Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back. Today we're tackling a really big one, a book that, well, it's been a cultural lightning rod in personal finance for decades. Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Absolutely. I mean, for so many people listening, this might have been the book that first made them stop and question, you know, the usual path.
Totally. The conventional wisdom, right?
Exactly. It just flies in the face of what most of us are raised with, you know, get good grades, get a high-paying job, save diligently, and somehow that automatically leads to financial security. Kiyosaki basically says following that path often keeps people stuck.
Which is exactly why we're diving in today. Our mission here is to, well, quickly and clearly unpack Kiyosaki's framework. We really want to understand the blueprint he lays out for escaping what he famously called the rat race.
That exhausting cycle.
Yeah, just working to pay bills, pay off debt, never really building that independence.
Right. So to really get why the book was so disruptive, you kind of have to look at Kiyosaki himself. His background is pretty interesting. He's a fourth generation Japanese American.
Okay.
Served as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he was an entrepreneur. He actually started that nylon and Velcro surfer wallet company way back.
Oh, really? That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
But the core of the book, the real hook, is those two fathers, right? The dual mentorship idea. It represents these totally opposing ways of thinking about money.
That's the heart of it. You had his poor dad, his biological father, highly educated, PhD, actually head of Hawaii's education system, valued job security, pensions, all that.
The traditional path.
Yet struggled with money his whole life. He kind of represents the system we're all taught to trust.
And then there's Rich Dad. Yeah.
His best friend's father, an entrepreneur. Dropped out of eighth grade, believe it or not.
Wow, eighth grade.
Yeah. No fancy qualifications, but became one of the wealthiest men in Hawaii through business.
So it wasn't about smarts, necessarily.
No, that's what Kiyosaki stresses. Both were smart, driven men, but one applied academic smarts to a career, the other applied financial intelligence to building businesses and assets. And the outcomes. Just night and day. That contrast is where the book gets its power.
Okay, so let's get to the core idea then. He argues that financial education, like financial literacy, that's the real key to wealth. Not necessarily formal education that just leads to a paycheck. The book's really about a mindset shift.
It absolutely is a complete transformation. And the big enemy he identifies is that rat race concept.
Right.
The problem isn't just earning too little. It's that when people earn more, their expenses just seem to rise right along with it. And crucially, so do their taxes. So you work harder, but you're not actually getting ahead financially.
You're just running faster on the wheel.
Exactly. So the core insight, and it sounds simple, but it's profound, is you have to stop working for money and instead figure out how to make money work for you.
That's the goal.
That's the engine driving the whole book. And to make that shift happen, Kiyosaki says you need to grasp a few key things. Really understanding assets versus liabilities, how corporations work with taxes, and also facing those, you know, psychological hurdles that keep people playing it safe.
Okay, let's unpack those famous six core lessons he got from his rich dad. Lesson one is maybe the most jarring. The rich don't work for money. He tells that story about working for 10 cents an hour.
Yeah, and then rich dad cuts their pay to zero.
Right. What was that about?
It's a powerful way to show how the whole system plays on our emotions. People get trapped by fear of not having enough money, and also by greed wanting that bigger paycheck, the raise. That cycle is the rat race. If you're always chasing the next raise, you're still caught in the trap. Real freedom, he argues, comes from seeing past the paycheck and focusing on building systems that generate wealth independently.
Okay, so that systematic thinking starts with lesson two. Why teach financial literacy? This is where he gives us those really fundamental bits of visions.
This is the absolute cornerstone. Kiyosaki draws a super clear line. An asset puts money in your pocket. Think stocks, rental properties, things that generate income.
Okay.
A liability takes money out of your pocket. Car loans, credit card debt, consumer stuff.
And this is where it gets controversial, right?
Yeah.
Because he says your primary home is often a liability.
Exactly. And that just goes against everything we're told, especially, you know, the whole American dream idea of home ownership being the ultimate goal.
So he's not saying don't own a home.
Not necessarily. He's saying you have to be brutally honest about the numbers. If the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance, the upkeep, if all that constantly drains cash out of your pocket month after month,
then it's a liability.
Functionally, yes.
Yeah.
from a cash flow perspective. He forces you to define wealth not just by what you own, but by the positive cash flow it creates. The absolute focus has to be on building up that asset column.
Got it. Which flows right into lesson three. Mind your own business. And he doesn't mean quit your job, right?
No, not at all. He makes a distinction between your profession, that's your job, what pays the bills, and your business, which is your asset column.
Okay.
You keep the day job for security, but you diligently build your business on the side by acquiring assets. He uses that great Ray Kroc example.
The McDonald's guy.
Yeah. Everyone thought Kroc was in the hamburger business. But Kiyosaki points out his real business, the source of his massive wealth, was the real estate underneath all those McDonald's franchises.
Ah, the land was the asset.
That was the income-generating asset. So the lesson for us is keep your job, but systematically buy assets that put money in your pocket.
Okay, so moving beyond personal finances, lesson four talks about the structure, the wealthy use. The power of corporations and taxes. This sounds like where things get a bit more complex.
It is, but the principle is key. It's about how cash flows differently. For an employee, the pattern is usually earn money, pay taxes, spend what's left.
Right. Taxes come out first.
Exactly. But for a business owner operating through a corporation, the pattern can be earn money, spend money on legitimate business expenses first, pay taxes on whatever profit remains.
So they spend pre-tax dollars. How does that work legally?
Well, because a corporation is a separate legal entity, it can deduct valid business expenses, things like supplies, maybe part of your car use, travel for business, even some training before calculating the taxable profit.
I see. So the government taxes the net profit, not the gross income like an employee.
In essence, yes. The middle class gets taxed largely on gross income, while the wealthy, through corporations, are often taxed on their net profit after deducting many expenses. Understanding that is a huge piece of financial intelligence.
Okay, that makes sense. And that ability to structure things leads into lesson five, which sounds more creative. The rich invent money. What does he mean by invent?
It's not literally printing money, obviously. It's about financial creativity. He argues opportunities are everywhere, but you need the financial training to see them and then structure a deal. It's about making opportunities happen, not just finding existing ones.
And this often involves using other people's money, OPM.
Exactly. That's a big part of it. Using leverage like bank loans or investor capital to control larger assets than you could afford with your own cash, it minimizes your personal risk if done smartly.
Right. Takes some boldness, I imagine.
Definitely. It requires financial intelligence and confidence to structure a deal where maybe you bring the know-how, but someone else brings most of the cash. That's a leap many people focused on security just aren't comfortable making.
Okay, and the final lesson, lesson six. Work to learn, don't work for money. This feels like a complete flip of standard career advice.
It really is. It forces you to ask, when you take a job, are you focused only on the salary or are you thinking about the skills you'll gain?
What kind of skills?
Kiyosaki argues the most valuable skills are often things like sales, marketing, communication, negotiation, understanding systems, managing people. He actually talks about taking a job at Xerox, even though he didn't need the money then, specifically to overcome his shyness and master sales.
He saw this skill as a asset.
Precisely. A permanent asset he could use forever, far more valuable than a temporary paycheck.
Wow. Okay, so if we pull all six lessons together, what are maybe the three big takeaways, the core themes?
I think the first, without a doubt, is the primacy of financial education. Your financial IQ is more valuable than academic degrees for building wealth, and you have to actively go get it because the traditional school system, it's mostly designed to create good employees, not owners or investors.
Yes, makes sense. What's number two?
The second is that fundamental mindset shift. It's about moving away from that employee mentality, seeking security, relying on a paycheck towards an investor or business owner mentality, which values freedom and focuses on building assets. It changes how you view risk, reward, everything.
Okay, mindset shift.
Yeah.
Got it.
And third, something we often forget is mastering the psychological barriers. Success isn't just numbers. It's about conquering your own emotions. Fear of losing money, cynicism that stops you from trying, laziness about learning, even arrogance thinking you know it all.
Fear paralyzes people.
Exactly. The wealthy learn to manage risk through education and calculated action, while fear keeps many people stuck playing it safe, never really getting ahead.
Yeah, that's powerful. And the book does such a good job of boiling these ideas down into really memorable quotes, doesn't it? Like little mantras.
Oh, absolutely. They stick with you. The absolute classic has to be, the poor and the middle class work for money. The rich have money work for them.
That's the ultimate summary of active versus passive income, right? Mm-hmm. Trading your time for money limits you.
Totally. And then there's that super simple rule for deciding what's what. An asset puts money in my pocket, a liability takes money out of my pocket.
So simple. Mm. But if you actually apply that filter to, say, buying a new car or thinking about a bigger house, it forces some real honesty.
It really does. And another key one emphasizes keeping what you earn. It's not how much money you make, but how much money you keep.
Ah, yes. That brings in the importance of taxes and managing expenses, not just chasing a bigger salary that vanishes. Building lasting wealth, not just high income.
Exactly. So, okay, for you listening now, how do you actually use this stuff? Kiyosaki is all about action. The first practical step he suggests is doing a personal financial statement audit.
And you have to be really honest. Using his definitions of asset and liability, where's your money actually going each month? Is it building your asset column or just feeding liabilities and lifestyle?
No fuzzy accounting, just the raw cash flow truth.
Right. What else?
Second, implement the pay yourself first habit. This is crucial. You automatically set aside a percentage of every paycheck for investing in assets before you pay rent, mortgage, credit cards, anything else.
Starts as you live on the rest.
Exactly. It ensures your asset column grows systematically month after month. It takes discipline, but it works.
Okay. And a third practical step.
Look at your strategic career choices. Think beyond just the immediate salary. Are there skills you lack? Maybe sales, marketing, negotiation? Consider taking jobs or even side gigs, specifically to learn those skills. That knowledge becomes an asset in itself, even if the pay isn't top dollar initially.
So work to learn valuable skills.
Right. Those skills can pay off far more in the long run.
You know, what really stands out to me, revisiting this, is just how empowering it feels. The idea that financial control isn't some secret reserved for elites. It's about understanding some, well, fairly simple rules, even if they go against the grain culturally, and then having the guts to act.
I agree. And for me, it's that challenge to the whole notion of job security. He really makes you question whether relying on an employer for security is true security at all.
Because you're giving away control.
Exactly. True financial control, he suggests, isn't about avoiding risk by clinging to a paycheck. It's about managing risk through ongoing education and actively building your own assets, creating your own security. That feels like the real power move.
A great thought to leave people with.
Definitely something to think about.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.